Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So recent reports have revealed that Singapore is one of the top ideal markets for data centers across the globe. But, you know, data centers, they've got a huge impact on the world that we live in. You see, they contribute 2% of the total global greenhouse gas emissions.
Yes, we've got to do something about this. There's a company called Pure Storage, which uses an all-flash array storage infrastructure system. It contains only flash memory drives instead of legacy storage technology that uses spinning disks to read and write data.
Okay, well, this means that Pure customers have eliminated greenhouse gas emissions equivalent to 7 billion miles driven by a single car. And the carbon sequestered is equivalent to what? 47 million tree seedlings grown over 10 years?
Wow. So it's well worth switching to flash if
wow.
you can.
Okay. Well, let's find out a little bit more about this from Matthew Oostveen, Chief Technology Officer and VP of Pure Storage. Matthew, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Matthew, this blows my mind, right? So we talk about data and the rise of data and how data has helped things like dealing with the pandemic, business profits. But then what is helping the world can also destroy the world.
Well, yes, it's there's a very complex issue that we're dealing with here. Where we're actually looking to try and solve some of these critical challenges that we face when it comes to the environment. And a really good way to do that, of course, is through using supercomputers and technologies like artificial intelligence. But unfortunately, they themselves have a footprint on the planet.
So one of the things we introduced in our lead up to introducing you was we talked about sort of legacy data storage systems versus flash. So before we even have this conversation, I think it'd be really useful if you could just tell us what the difference is.
Sure. Well, there's a really fundamental difference. If we think about flash storage, it is modern, it is new, it has absolutely no moving parts whatsoever. And if we compare that to the way that we've been storing our data for the last few decades, it's very different. Think about mechanical disks. They're slow, they're noisy, they give off quite a lot of thermal emission, and they just don't have the performance characteristics that we see with modern flash systems.
So Singapore, a leading hub for innovation and research, when it comes to energy use, right, is there any scale or any way you could put into context how much we are contributing?
Yeah, there's an enormous footprint that every data center gives off. And of course, here in Singapore, we are the third largest city in the Asia Pacific region when it comes to data center floor space. If you stack all of the countries together, Singapore is the fourth largest. And that's a byproduct of a number of different things. It's a byproduct of the fact that we have an incredible amount of innovation. There's an enormous focus on higher education, and with higher education, of course, comes supercomputing and data center. But the really big driver and the big cause for a lot of the thermal emission and the CO2 emission comes from these hyperscale data centers. So I want you to think Google and Amazon and Microsoft and the likes of those have really been driving a lot of the data center consumption here in Singapore.
Yeah, you know, and this is obviously becoming a bigger and bigger worry for people. Now, just getting back to the technology for a second then, if this, I'm curious how long this flash technology has been available, because if it's been available for long enough, one wonders why you wouldn't get these bigger names in tech, Google's, your Microsofts, your Amazons, investing more in that rather than these legacy systems, which are causing such a high level of emissions.
Well, that's a really good question. Flash has been available through our organization probably for the last decade here in the Asia Pacific region, more likely the last 8 years. What we see the large providers, the Amazons, the Microsofts, and the Googles doing is they have a very mixed environment. So some of their environment is going to be based on flash storage, and that's going to be for the more performance-oriented workloads. But the vast majority of their storage is going to be on these mechanical disks. And there's a really good reason for that, of course, because the upfront cost of buying a mechanical disk, at least traditionally, has been more expensive than the upfront cost of buying flash storage. But that's something that we anticipate seeing change. We think with forecasts in the next 4 years to 5 years, that we'll actually see an inflection point reached where the upfront cost of acquiring flash storage will be less than an old school spinning mechanical disk.
So cost, obviously, a big part in this. Cost is always going to be a big part in any company's drive to change. What else is stopping these companies from switching out their legacy systems?
Yeah, that's really getting to the heart of the matter here. And I think that there's an element of education that's required within the purchasing part of the marketplace, because people need to understand that there's a fundamental difference between the price of something and the cost of something. And just because there is an upfront cost associated with getting something like storage, because it is a greener technology, if you will, what we need to understand and what we need to help educate the buying community on is the fact that there are ongoing costs, such as the cost of electricity, the cost of cooling the data center from all of the thermal emissions that might be associated with spinning disk media. So, you know, stepping back, taking a longer term view, looking at the complete and total life cycle cost of acquiring an antiquated technology versus a new and exciting technology like flash is a really important element to help get customers over the line when it comes to making better and greener decisions inside their data centers.
Okay, so I don't know whether you have this data, but I'm going to ask you anyway in the hope that you might come up with something intelligent.
I'll do my best.
You do your best. So let's just say, hypothetically, all of the data centers in Singapore went flash, okay? How much less would the carbon emissions be? Is there a calculation for that?
There's no calculation, but let's imagine with your thought experiment that this were to happen, there would be a couple of immediate byproducts. The first is that the moratorium that's been placed on new data center construction by the Singaporean government would probably not need to be lifted in 2021 because there would be such a saving in the amount of floor space used. So I would anticipate that we could reduce Singaporean floor space by around about a third just by switching away from mechanical disks towards flash storage. From a carbon emission perspective, you know, off the top of my head, I would expect that we would see something like a 15 to 20% reduction in the amount of CO2 that's being drawn and emitted by these massive facilities.
I like the sound of more floor space, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's a definite plus point for me. Matthew, so I'm reading here that the Nanyang Technological University has adopted Pure's FlashBlade service to fulfill its growing demand for supercomputing resources at the university's High Performance Computing Center. Where the research sector is concerned, I mean, how has Pure FlashBlade enabled researchers to accelerate whatever investigations that they're carrying out?
Well, NTU is a really great use case. I mean, they've got some of the most advanced HPC, that's high-performance computing systems, in Singapore, and in fact, probably in the region. And if you think about it, these are really incredible tools that form a backbone for many of their scientific projects. Now, what Pure has done is we've worked closely with their School of Biological Sciences, and they undertook a project recently to analyze the genomes of over 1,000 plant species. Now, as we know, analyzing a genome is very intensive when it comes to compute and to storage. So we actually worked with the researchers there to help them quadruple their efficiency and output by allowing them to run their processing jobs in parallel. In fact, they can now run 4 jobs at the same time. And by doing this, by running those 4 jobs, the team was able to cross their project's halfway point in just 18 months. So the researchers are more productive. Mm-hmm. And what that really means is that they've been able to eliminate supercomputing time that would have otherwise resulted in excess power, and importantly for Singapore, excess water usage as well, because these cooling systems that are required for HPC systems are actually quite water intensive as well.
Okay, but listen, I want to ask you a question about sort of a global phenomenon right now. Can you just confirm something for me? To make flash technology, this storage technology work, it's basically flash memory chips. Am I correct?
Absolutely, just like in your mobile phone.
Okay. And right now, we know that there's a bit of a global crunch on when it comes to chip deployment and supply. Has that been a big concern for you?
It's something that we're watching very carefully. Our supply chain hasn't been impacted. If we look at the type of chips that are actually being impacted by this chip shortage, it's not actually storage memory, it's processing memory. So it's a type of a very applied processor that we might see on a circuit board used to perhaps, you know, run the electronics inside a car. So it's not something that impacts us directly. It's certainly something that we're watching very closely, though.
So can I just ask then, from an environmental perspective, if, let's say, you know, we've got this Earth Day tomorrow and we've got this climate summit kicking off in Joe Biden's climate summit, if actually you have globally governments getting behind the idea of pushing this kind of technology, would they, or would it be helpful if they were to safeguard supply chains, especially given what we've learned on the processing side?
Yeah, and we started to learn those lessons during COVID as well, where we started to see some supply chains impacted. The good news from a flash memory perspective is the fact that we do have manufacturing bases in a number of different countries, which actually spreads out some of the risks. So I think Japan, Korea, and Taiwan, as opposed to being clustered around to particular areas within China, for example. So when you have very high density manufacturing cloistered around a particular location, then supply chain becomes a little bit more damaging. But the lessons that we learned from the COVID era and now watching this global chip shortage certainly do highlight the fact that we need to ensure that the global supply chain is able to keep up with this demand that we're seeing for electronic systems at the moment.
Demand for electronics, well, one thing, and we have been talking about, you know, getting companies to change, and you've gone some way here in Singapore. When you look at other markets, do any markets stand out in particular in terms of posing a challenge to switch out their legacy system or perhaps being open enough to take on these flash data storage?
Oh, I think that there's always a high propensity for the uptake of new and exciting technologies within the more advanced economies within the region. So whenever we see something new and interesting released, typically you would see in our region, Australia, New Zealand and Singapore, very quick on the uptake. And then we start to see some, lagging countries when it comes to uptake. And these are going to be the smaller economies, where they don't have perhaps the technical expertise to be able to deploy something that's new and cutting edge and being able to understand what the implications for the implementation of these technologies would mean inside their environment. And many of them can be found within the ASEAN region. Many of them are our neighbours, in fact.
Is there a problem when it comes to switching out the systems? And what I mean is, you know, switching legacy systems out for what you're offering does potentially create an e-waste problem. Is that bigger or on par with the whole, you know, with the amount of heat that's being produced using the legacy systems?
Yeah, there's a whole life cycle that needs to be taken into consideration from a green and sustainability perspective. The good news is that the e-waste that comes from systems like ours is on an order of magnitude smaller than the waste that comes from mechanical disks and spinning disks. They are cumbersome. They take up a lot of space. And when it comes to breaking down these systems, which is an important part of the e-waste life cycle, there's more complexity. So often it's not worthwhile, you know, extracting all of the resources within, you know, a spinning disc media or a mechanical disc. They take up a lot of landfill and they're not recycled appropriately.
Okay, well, on that note, let's just remind our listeners once again that tomorrow is Earth Day. How are you at Pure Storage going to be recognizing it?
Well, Earth Day is something that's really close to our hearts at Pure. So we've done a number of things. We've partnered with One Tree Planted, actually, and we're committed to planting over 100,000 trees this year. But because we are on the greener end of the spectrum as a technology company, many of our employees are really active and enthusiastic about Earth Day, so we want to support that and enable that. We encourage them to recycle. We encourage them to compost with their neighbours and their family. And in fact, we've even been holding courses on how they can compost in their own homes.
We've been speaking with Matthew Oostveen, who is Chief Technology Officer and VP for Pure Storage. Matthew, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you very much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.